Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for the opportunity to study your word. I pray, let it become alive to us. Let us see it like we've never seen it before, understand things that we have never understood. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so we are going into this Bible study, and we, of course, have just come out of This Is That, which is the trip to Azusa, wonderful drama. And we're wanting to grow in what has happened to us and our experience with God. And so our understanding, we want to go beyond Azusa Street. And we need to understand that we are living in the last days. We are living in the last days. And this is what the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. So as we move into these last days before the Lord comes back, God's spirit is being poured out in a greater way. And as the spirit flows, we get greater revelations, great understanding, truth begins to flow in our lives as well. John chapter 16, verse 13 says this, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide us into all truth. When the Spirit, God only has one Spirit, and so whenever we're talking about the Spirit of truth or the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, we're just talking about God. When his presence comes, he leads us into all truth. And so the Spirit continues to lead you deeper and deeper into the truth. And there's a process of being led into the truth. It's God doesn't just always just dump everything on us. A lot of times he allows us to grow in our understanding of truth. And I just want to present a few men. These are not the only men, but they are a few men that God used in this process of unfolding his truth in more of our modern times. But first, let's reach back. Jonathan Edwards was a powerful preacher, and he was one of the main preachers in the America First Great Awakening. And on July 8th, 1741, he preached a message that was entitled, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. This message that he preached shook the house that he was preaching in, but it went beyond that. People were crying out to God in that service and that crawling to the altar. It was just a powerful, powerful moving of the Holy Ghost. But it went beyond and into our communities, and others preached similar messages. And what it was a message that called people to repentance. God began to work and move on people, calling them to repentance. And that's always the first step. That's John the Baptist before Jesus. He preached repentance, that preparation for God to come. And then time goes on and people are seeking after God and they're trying to live a repented life. And then there's a man by the name of William Seymour. And he was the one that led the Azusa Street revival. And so the Holy Ghost was first felt prominently here in America in Topeka, Kansas. Charles Parham, he started that Bible school and the Holy Ghost fell in it at the turn of the century. And then he started other Bible schools across the country. And in 1906, one of the students by the name of William Seymour, he was invited to preach in Los Angeles, California. And as he began to preach about this amazing God-given experience of being filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, people began to come from all over the city, the state, the country, even around the world to experience the Holy Ghost firsthand. And people were healed in their bodies. Miracles, signs, and wonders began to happen. And again, God allowed his spirit to come, and so now more truth, more light, more revelation begin to come. R.E. McAllister was a minister, and in 1914, at a camp meeting, this man that was freshly filled with the Holy Ghost, he began to search the Word of God very fervently, and he was studying about New Testament water baptism, and the Spirit led him to the truth. He ministered about baptism, and just with one statement, he just sent shockwaves across this new Holy Ghost-filled movement. He simply expressed the necessity of being baptized, and when people were baptized in the Bible, it was always administered in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, these three important revelations that the Spirit began to lead people into, repentance, baptism, and the Holy Ghost. Now, these three men did not exclusively hold the keys to these truths, but they were very instrumental in opening the door to people that were coming into this great truth. And so these things that come to us beyond Azusa Street, and people began to get more and more revelation. And I just want to go through some of the scriptures that they received. Now, these men received these revelations over a period of time. But God gave all of this at the day of Pentecost at once. Just receive each of these things. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Very important verse here. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Notice all three of these things in one verse. This is the beginning of the church. I'm going to read it again. Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so we see these this coming after Azusa Street, more revelation coming, all these things. But let's actually dial back and look at each one of these individually to see their importance in and of themselves. First, let's look at repentance. Is it important that we repent? We're just going to look at a few scriptures of many. Acts chapter 17, verse 30 says, and the time of this ignorant God winked at. There was a time that God said they're ignorant of what's going on, and he just winks at it like you do a kid that don't understand what's going on. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Repentance is not for some people in some places. It's for all men everywhere. All of us need to repent. Luke chapter 13, verse number 3. Again, this is Jesus speaking, very strong. He says, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So is repentance important? I believe it is. He said he commanded people to repent. And we also find out if we don't repent, we will perish. So what is repentance? Repentance literally means a change in direction. It is a change both inwardly and outwardly. And it's important that we turn. And here's just a really simple example of that. Matthew 21, verse 29, and he answered and said, I will not. This is a young man that his father asked him to do something. He said, I will not. I'm not going to do it. But afterwards, he repented and went. See, that's what it was. It's a change. I'm not going to do this. Now I am going to do this. I'm not going to go to church. Now I am going to go to church. And it's the opposite. When people say, I am going to go party, I'm going to be in the bars, I'm going to this lifestyle that I know is not godly, but then you repent and you go the other direction. That is simply what repentance is. It doesn't matter how often we say I'm sorry, we've got to have a change in our lives. And so that's what repentance is. We've got to surrender our lives to God, and it's important that we repent. The next thing that I want to look at very briefly is baptism. Is that important? So we see they repented, were baptized, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Is each of these important? Well, let's look at baptism. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. He that believeth and is baptized. So baptism, here it says, is what brings salvation. You must believe and be baptized if you're going to be saved. Another scripture in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Baptism saves us. Now that scripture goes on to talk about not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Otherwise, it's not because we, you know, get dial soap and we get cleaned up real good. But it's simply that obedience to the word of God. But it says it saves us. So we have many scriptures, and there's more we could look at, that let us know that baptism is essential to our salvation. And how you are baptized. The Bible, when people were baptized, it was always in the name of the Lord Jesus. And it's important. Let me just read a few scriptures here. Acts chapter 8, verse 16. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them, speaking of the Holy Ghost, but look how they were baptized. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When people got baptized in the Bible, it was always in the name of Jesus. Look here, Acts 19 and 5. When they heard this, how were they baptized? They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Why is that so important? According to the word of God, that name has all power, and that name is given to us. But look what it says here in Acts 4:12. Again, a salvation issue. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Not only is it important that we are baptized, we must be baptized, but it's also important how you are baptized. We must be baptized in the name of Jesus. Now let's look at this third thing, this third revelation that came, and that is the Holy Ghost. Is that important? Is it important that we receive the Holy Ghost or the Spirit of God? Anytime you see in the Bible, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, Spirit of Truth, if it's referring to God, God only has one spirit, it's referring to that spirit in different forms of action. And so it's speaking of God in action. And so Romans chapter 8, verse number 9, look what it says. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, look at this, he is none of his. If any man hath not the Spirit of Christ or the Holy Ghost, you are none of his. It is vital that we have the Spirit of God in us. Look at John chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man is born of the water, that's baptism, we talked about a minute ago, and of the Spirit, that's being filled with the Holy Ghost, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. If we are not filled with the Spirit, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Just saying that word, cannot, that means that there's no other way to do it. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. You must be baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, if you're going to get into the kingdom of God. And so it's important that we have the Holy Ghost. So how do we know if we have received the Holy Ghost? How do we know that this happened? In the New Testament church, when people received the Holy Ghost or the Spirit of God, they received God's Spirit inside of them, they spoke with tongues. I'll give you a couple examples. Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And what happened when the Holy Ghost came on them? And began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Look here in Acts 19:6. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. And what happens when you receive the Holy Ghost? And they spake with tongues and prophesied. I want you to know that when the Holy Ghost comes on you, you will speak in that heavenly language, and it is for everyone. It's for everyone. I received the Holy Ghost when I was 6 years old, and I still remember where I was, people around me, It was a life-changing experience, even at 6 years old. I'm just telling you, there is nothing like it. But this is something that I want to say right now that's very important, is we've got to go beyond our last experience with God. One of the biggest dangers we face is getting stuck in our last experience, whether it be good or bad. I've seen people in a bad experience and they just can't seem to get out of it. But also, there are good experiences that people have, great experience people have, and they get stuck at that experience and don't go further. The disciples got stuck as they watched Jesus ascend into heaven. They were watching him. They watched him ascend there. It was an amazing thing. And if you think about it, I mean, if you're going to get stuck anywhere, that seems like a good place to get stuck. Right there, you're watching Jesus ascend into heaven after he died, was buried, resurrected, talking to his disciples, now watching him go. But they got stuck there, and there were angels that came down and corrected the disciples. And what they said to them simply in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, the angels asked them, they said, "Why stand ye here gazing into heaven?" Now, again, what's wrong with that? Jesus just went up. We had this great experience. We're watching him go up there. But they were telling them not to get stuck at your last experience with Jesus. You're not denying that experience with Jesus whenever you build on it. Because Jesus told them to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise. And so we've got to go beyond our last experience, beyond Azusa, beyond just hearing about it, beyond just experiencing this thing. We've got to get everything that God has for each and every one of us. And I'm telling you right now, everything I've talked about, this process, the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection, repentance, baptism, infilling of the Holy Ghost, it is for each and every one of us today, and all of them are important for us so that the Spirit can continue to lead us into all truth.